Hey everybody, this is The Drop. This is episode 7. This is your host, RJ. We are back. We were not back last week because we were out doing incredibly fun things, seeing concerts and just having a blast. I'm just kidding. I was home alone with my kids because my wife was traveling and I just couldn't get it together. So our apologies. But we're going to have some fun this week. We are going to share an interview with Andy Frasco, who joins us from New York as part of he has a crazy thing going. He's got shows and a podcast and all kinds of collaborations, and we have a really good conversation about all that stuff. So stick around for that. And then we're going to share a clip from the Osiris podcast called Amigos with Mike Fenoya. And Mike and Tim talk about all kinds of stuff. Tim's a guitar player from Kung Fu and The Breakfast and Z3. And he and Mike talk about all kinds of stuff, music and comedy and all kinds of other things. And we're going to bring you just a clip of that in a few minutes. But I hope you all are enjoying this. Let you know that the drop is brought to you by Cash or Trade, the only social network where you can buy, sell, and trade face value tickets. And Jambase is a media partner of Osiris. So check out jambase.com for all kinds of music news, tour dates, and much more. So I think everyone knows that we have a video version of The Drop, which is at youtube.com/osirismedia, hosted by Amar Sastry, produced and edited by our friend Eric Lemarenko, as well as Alan Berry, who's been doing the majority of the producing and editing. And we're just thankful to all those guys. Because of Memorial Day travel and all kinds of other stuff, we're going to take a couple weeks off of The Drop after this one. Hopefully you'll be able to see the one that comes out at the same day as this, May 13th. And then we're going to take the next 2 weeks off and we'll be back at the beginning of June. But also Memorial Day weekend, I'll be at Delfest with Matt and Jonathan from HF Pod, and we're going to be interviewing all kinds of artists there, and we're going to be putting those videos up and sharing some of the audio via The Drop as well. So stay tuned from that. Subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/osirismedia, and hopefully you'll hear some Delfest interviews on here as well. So thank you all for your support. Keep the feedback coming. Reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter or however you reach out to people. And if you like what you hear, give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, because it's very much appreciated and really helpful for us. So I think with that, we're going to get into this Andy Frasco interview. Like I said, we talk about his tour dates, his music, his health, his mental health, his podcast, all kinds of stuff. So we hope you enjoy it, and then we'll bring you back here real quick before we jump into the clip from the Amigos pod. All right, enjoy. All right, I'm here with Andy Frasco. What's up, Andy?
What up, dude?
Good to have you on. You always have great greetings, you know. I appreciate it. Authentic and enthusiastic.
Oh man, you know, I'm high on coffee. I think I've ever since I stopped doing coke, I just fucking put myself through, you know, two pots of coffee to get the fix. So I'm juiced up and yeah, good to be on the show. I might be a spatter brain because I'm trying to be a musician and a podcast guy and a friend.
Yeah,
and all
man.
This stuff while I'm supposed to be chilling out. I have 7 days off in New York, but this city inspires me so much. Yeah, I'm in town right now, and this city is there's something about this city, man, that makes me want to work hard and work
hard.
It's
awesome, man. There's unlimited possibility and unlimited collaborators, and you know, it's just got a great vibe for creative people. By the time this comes out, you will have just played with Ghostlight at Brooklyn Bowl, and then I guess a day after this comes out, you'll be at playing at the Brooklyn Bowl again as part of the Relics Music Conference. But you're also doing podcasts and you're also doing all kinds of stuff. But what's going on with the band? I think the band is, like, for people who don't know, you know, it's hard to put your band into a category, but you guys are just going strong. You just put out a new album. How's it going? How's it feeling?
Man, this has been the craziest year ever. I really feel like we're starting to, like, people are paying attention, and that makes me nervous as fuck. You know, because when people start paying attention, you know, then I got to start doing, you know, start thinking about the new set. I just interviewed Gary Goldman. He's like this comedy legend. And, you know, we were talking about that and how pressure it is to, you know, just keep putting new material that's, you know, when people are expecting you at one level and, you know, just keep trying and keep trying new things. And because this jam scene's very fickle, you know, if you start doing the same shit, they start yelling at you. So I'm like, well, you know, like internet yelling, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're not yelling to me. Like I just see them just yell. Frasco did the fucking bar mitzvah again in my, you know, just like, oh fuck, here we go.
Well, you guys, so the album Change of Pace came out, earlier this year, right? And you guys are, I mean, you have, your tour dates are insane. I mean, it looks like you have a show almost every day in like June, July, and August. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you're on tour all summer.
Yeah, man. I'm extremely neurotic. So like, I just book myself. I've been booking myself, not like me personally booking myself, but like, I just say yes to everything. So I just play like I've been playing 250 shows a year for the last 14 years.
That is crazy. So, I'm a longtime Phish fan, and you know, at Phish's peak, they were doing, you know, a couple hundred shows a year. And the music, I think, works better, you know, right? When you're playing more and you're doing more, but at some point, there's got to be diminishing returns, right? Have you reached that point yet, or does it still feel like you have enough energy to keep going every night?
You know, I keep on. I'm definitely keep on testing myself to see when my energy level is.
See what the limit is.
Go away, but so far, you know, like I read a lot. I'm all about athletes and how they train their bodies and stuff. And I'm not saying that I train my body great, but you know, because I, you know, stay up all night and fucking drink like an idiot, and you know, I destroy my body, but I know. There's some like Michael Jordan. He used to go to games fucked up, and like he used to drive. He used to only get 4 or 5 hours of sleep. So I'm thinking, well, shit, why can't I? So I've you know, it's like any of these athletes. Like they work. Everyone, you know, this job isn't for people who like to sleep. You know, you really gotta like love the art of sleep deprivation because well, like
yeah.
It's crazy, man, because, you know, I just got back from Jazz Fest and, like, seeing how hard all my musician friends are working and shit. It was just like, I'm like, it made me have less anxiety that I'm just a crazy person and I'm just doing this myself, like, tormenting myself. Because everyone else is just as neurotically wants to play all the fucking time, you know? There's some sort of addiction that comes out of entertaining people, you know, and like, and I know I'm like, I'm not the greatest shredder or piano player. So like my talent is to get the crowd and the band glued together, you know? And if I could just like fucking noodle and like kick ass guitar playing, like the Trays of the world, I wouldn't have to like fucking run around like a madman. Moment, you know? So So like I'm like knowing my weaknesses as my musicianship, and while I'm working on strengthening my keyboard skills and my piano skills and my songwriting skills, I'm just taking my energy as a strength and bringing that part of the jam scene.
Yeah, well, I like to Change of Pace has a really nice vibe to it. I think it's a really good album. Good work keeping that up. And I know it must be challenging to like, I don't know, tell me about that, like getting some success, and then like I guess that's what you're saying about expectations, then you're on the hook for even more.
Yeah, you're on the hook, and you're only as good as the last song you wrote or the last show you played. So you know that puts
or the last podcast you put out
or the last exactly my podcast and shit, and that like takes up half my time too. I thought I was just gonna do a little hobby thing, like, oh yeah, podcast, you know, I'm off the coke, I'm not really trying to have one night stands anymore, and I'm really just trying to focus on my art, so might as well put out a podcast. And I didn't realize how much fucking work it was.
So
you know, I you're hosting like you guys have like 20 of those podcasts.
Yeah,
like I could tell your pressure, man.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But
you, so, you know, it's like, just hard to play song, you know, like, so like I really had to sit down and stop thinking about the live show for a second and start thinking about what I'm thinking about in my brain so I could commentary on it. You know, cause you know, songwriters, you got to live to write. And like, if you don't show the listener what you're going through and realizing that we're all going through these changes in our lives and these mental health issues, no one's different. There's no different than me being on stage and having the same anxiety as the listener. So like, that's what change of pace. I wanted to get out of change of pace, and you know, people have been responding well. And like for me to be vulnerable, you know, I normally write songs like Blame It on the Pussy and Mature as Fuck and stuff. So like me to like take a step back and say, well, let's stop like being a gimmick and let's start being a songwriter. And I felt change of pace is the first really step into that direction.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I think it seems to be working from my perspective. And I will say, for people who are listening who haven't heard your interview with No Simple Road, another Osiris podcast, you should check that out, because you guys went deep on mental health and experiences and your life and all that. So I think people should check that out, because that's probably like the most in-depth interview you've done, right? Or have you gone even deeper?
Man, that was pretty in-depth. Like those guys, I mean, I just felt like I could... You know how you meet someone and you could just talk to them and like, you, they could be complete strangers, but they understand you. That's how I felt with those guys. That's one of my favorite.
They have a great thing going.
You know, I try not to listen to too many podcasts so I don't like rip anyone off or, you know, just like, you know, like, I listen to a comedian podcast a lot. And then like, I could like when I'm recording something, I'm like, oh fuck, I totally fucking took that line from, you know, Bill Burr. You know, just like, oh fuck, you know, like, so it's like the same thing with music. Like, you know, like, it's hard for me to listen to new music because I don't want to rip anyone off. I want them to, you know, it's like, I want to like support it and like be part of the show. I want to listen to music when I'm not trying to create, you know, so I don't feel like I'm ripping anyone off, because you might not even feel like you're ripping anyone off, but like subconsciously, it's like anything, like it's like having a conversation with your mom and like you feel the guilt and that goes through the whole day, you know. Like you're like, oh, why am I feeling so guilty about what I'm eating today? Oh yeah. Talk to my mom about my alcohol abuse.
Well,
you know, so
well, that's all inspiration, right? Isn't that the whole thing about music? You can, you know, you get inspiration from other artists and you're going to end up taking things from them. But it sounds like you actually are. You're trying to be more intentional.
Yeah, man,
about,
I'm trying to be
it.
More aware of my feelings. And I'm just trying to be a better person. You know, I've lived selfishly on this road, you know, and, you know, I'm just trying to like stay more present, not take advantage of anybody, and just try to be the best person I can be and support this scene. I mean, I saw it at Jazz Fest, like all the homies, like Pigeons and Revivalist and Carl Denson and Turquoise and the Motets, they're all like, they didn't have to come to my show. They did like 25,000 shows this week and they still came to support. And I see them at all the other shows. We're family, you know, this is the coolest fucking family ever, you know, because we all understand each other, because we're all living on the road, you know, having lunches at gas stations and fucking
dinners.
We're having chicken wings from the venue, you know, or unless you're like a more popular band and get like a fancy ass rider. But but,
well,
you know, normally we're fighting to entertain people. You know, it's the fight that we love. I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way. And I talked to all my musician friends, you know, they wouldn't want it any other way, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm no expert on, you know, living authentically, but I do think stopping cocaine is probably a really good step.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh yeah. You know, going back to the sleep deprivation and stuff, you know, first off, half the cocaine isn't even really cocaine. It's like speed and baby laxatives. So like, you're just like shitting all day and stuff, and like it's just bad all around. Fuck. It's just like, you know, like, but you want to stay up because you're so fucking tired, and then once you get adrenaline in you after your show, and then you have cocaine and adrenaline in your system. It's just like you become a fucking crazy person, and then you stay up for like 3 days, you know, because you have sound check at 1 p.m. or you have to get a bus call at 6, and then you're in a van driving 8 hours, and you know, it's just it's a hard life. And if you're going to add more hardness to it, I just made that word up, I think, but then you're just putting more pressure on yourself, and you know, then that's when we start getting these mental health, and that's when we start getting depressed about where we are, because we start thinking about tomorrow instead of start thinking about this moment. Like, hey, go to bed. It's okay to drink some water. It's okay to say no to a shot.
Yeah. Well, it's hard also because fans and friends are there seeing the show and everyone's partying, and then you have to do your show. But then after the show, you know, people still want to hang out. So it's, I assume it is hard. I mean, I know some bands, they just, you know, get on a bus and leave immediately after the show. So there's none of that. Right?
Yeah, but I talked to bands on buses, like their bus calls at 5 o'clock, and half these guys can't even sleep in these buses because, you know, the beds are fucking shitty, or like, you know, there's 27 people on the bus and it smells, you know, there's like, we always think like the next step. Yeah, man, we get a tour bus. We're going to be fucking living it up. Then you get the tour bus and it's not what you expected, you know, and it's just, that's how life. It's we expect too much out of things. If we just take a step back and just let life come, I think we start appreciating the moment more, like living in the van with a group of your brothers, you know?
Right.
Seeing a show with, you know.
Yeah, so do you take advantage of the time you have off or not? It sounds like not really.
I take advantage of, I'm a workaholic. I love working. So like time off, like this is, to me is, considered time off, working on my podcast, eating food, meeting friends I haven't seen in a year, you know, like that's my time off. Like it's about the rest. Like, you know, I'm not a guy who just sits at home and like fucking binges Netflix unless like I'm just getting off tour and it's like 8 p.m. and I flew in and, you know, and I just want to smoke an eighth of weed to my head and watch something stupid, you know, but like after I have that day of that 10 hour sleep, I'm like, let's work, you know,
I'm ready to go again.
I'm here to create, you know, this is my life. I'm not here for a 9-to-5. I'm here for a 24 hour, you know, I want to give this world everything I can because we don't know if we only live once or if we live 20,000 times, but all I know is that this is all I got, and I want my legacy. I want to give as much as I can, so when I'm gone, I have something to give to the world that they could look on.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And I want to go back to your tour at the end, but real quick, Andy Frasco's World Saving Podcast. It's I think you said you started off as sort of a hobby. Now I think you mentioned you're booked through September with guests. So. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you trying to achieve with it for people who haven't heard it? What's your approach to it? And what are you hoping listeners take away?
You know, I just want people to see the human side of musicians, you know, the addictions, the heartbreak, you know, we're all, you know, it's like, it's two friends talking to each other, pressing record. Like I really wanted that. I want to show how dedicated these people are to the road. I mean, you give so much to everyone else so everyone else could feel good. You fucking destroy your bodies, you destroy your fucking throats, you know, you smoke too much, you drink too much, just so we could entertain people. And like to show the story of that, but you know, like everyone could talk about the lyrics and the chord progressions and the set list, but like, What's deeper than the set list? What makes you think of those ups and downs? That's what I'm fascinated with. Like, I'm fascinated with how people live life. You know, like, what do you do when you're, you know, that gets me high. And it also gives me security to, hey, I'm not a crazy person. You know, we're all fighting this shit. You know, people don't want to talk about their feelings. You know, it's really hard. Yeah. People suppress their feelings. They only want to show you the good stuff. And then, you know, I mean, social media helped grew my career, but I think it's also the blame for people who, you know, who are striving for FOMO, you know, and like, yeah. we gotta like understand that, you know, life's about having bad days too. Life's about not just the good things, like, oh, here's a view of me on the beach. Like, it's also like, dude, I woke up at 4 a.m. because I had an anxiety attack. You know, like, let's talk about that stuff too, because is important. I mean, like,
yeah, it's real.
It makes us feel that we're fucking human. We're not robots. We can't, you know, we're not robots yet, at least.
Not yet. It's coming. Now, I had a conversation with Anders Osborne a few weeks ago, and, you know, he's been very public about his recovery and all that. And he's also been, I think, trying to help people, you know, make mental health in the art and music community a little bit more of a, you know, acceptable thing to talk about and to confront, which I think is cool. And you're doing the same thing in a different way. So, I mean, I think that's important, you know.
Man, I do too, man. I think it's extremely important. And, you know, like, it's like, if you need a friend, he's only a phone call away, you know, like, we gotta stop thinking that we're alone, you know, 'cause we're not, you know. If you want to take the effort, there's therapy, there's a lot of things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you are, you like to work, and in addition to playing however many hundred shows, you also do this podcast every Tuesday. There's 44 episodes. I think you've been almost every Tuesday since you launched, which is really incredible given the schedule. And you've had some amazing guests on. At the beginning, very beginning, I remember last year you had Marcus King and Carl Denson and Keller Williams. And since then, I mean, you've had anyone who people in the jam scene and beyond might have heard of. But really cool, and I'm glad that you're finding an outlet in it, and, you know, despite how hard it is.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. And you're doing the same thing, bro. I bitch about having one podcast. You motherfucker, you have like 25 bajillion podcasts. Like,
well, I don't host them all, but I do host a few.
You're running,
you know,
the game. You're trying to find the sponsors. I mean, you're keeping these podcasts alive, man.
We're trying. I appreciate
that. You're doing a great fucking job, man. Yeah,
well,
dude. You're killing
I woke up at 4:30 today too with an anxiety attack, so we're on the same side.
I'm only a phone call away. You have my number now.
I do. Well, let's end with just a little talk about your tour. People can check out the tour dates at andyfrasco.com. So, Andy, you have I can't even count how many shows between now and the end of the summer. But in terms of festivals, you're going to be at Summer Camp, Mountain Jam, Four Peaks, High Sierra, Peach, and Lock In, and maybe a couple others. Are there specific shows that you're like really looking forward to, or do you just go into every show, you know, wanting to do your best?
Yeah, I heard Lock In is a fucking trip, so I'm really excited for Lock In. Well, like, it's festival season, so I always try to change the show a little bit for festival season. Mm-hmm. It's nice that I have a new record out this year, so I could play the new stuff. But like, I mean, we've been hitting the country hard all winter. So, like, they're expecting something different. So, you know, I got to start. I just finished my last interview for a minute until festival season. So now I'm turning my brain, because I got to make a new record now, too. So it's like, I'm making the new record. I just started writing it. You know, I got, like, his Golden Messenger. I've been writing songs with him and talking with Dave Schools, and he's going to help me produce. And
nice.
Been writing with some Lucero boys. I'm going to John C. Stubblefield and, you know, just every, you know, and Lyle and Dave Shaw, and, you know, I'm just going to try to pick everyone's brains and see what comes out of it. You know, it's, you know, for the festival season, I'm going to have to write songs and soundcheck, and I already have a feeling. So, and like, change the bits up, but yeah, Lock In, I'm excited for. I heard Levitate's really dope, so I'm going to do that one. I'm doing Summer Camp next week. That's dope. Yeah, it's festival season. We got on so many big festivals. I mean, I'm just like kind of shell-shocked of, this is a big year for us. So like, I'm just trying to like put my nose to the ground and just do the work and try to be the best musician and entertainer I can, and try to make content and try to do the best I can for every show. You know, I feel sad. I feel like shit when I only give 80%. So like, I need to give 120% every time, or I start getting anxiety for myself. Like, why am I doing this if I'm only going to give it 80%, give it 120, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that attitude, and it shows, you know, in your music and in your podcasts and in the way you express yourself. So keep it up, man. I'm so excited to hear that you're working with MC Taylor. I mean, that he's incredible. One of my favorite songwriters.
Isn't he dope? Oh my God, I was amazing. Like little fucking frightened actually,
amazing.
Because like
yeah. I'd be
I'm
scared,
rolling
man.
In there. Yeah, it was cool. We wrote a song together at the Brooklyn Bowl backstage last night.
Last night, awesome. Brooklyn, no shit.
Yeah, Brooklyn Bowl let us, let me, it wasn't last night, it was yesterday morning. We told him the idea, like, hey, me and him want to do a tune. Like, and that's how cool the fucking Brooklyn Bowl is. Like, yep, we got you. You're set up
nice.
All morning. And that's the community. That's what I'm talking about. This family we have. This, the Shapiros of the world want to keep music alive. And, like, I'm fucking
yeah.
in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes, you know, from your day.
Hey, man, anytime. I'll do all your shows. Just holler at me.
All right, Andy. Well, thank you, and good luck tonight. I know you're sitting in with Ghostlight, and then you got some shows coming up. So have a blast out there, man. We'll be paying
attention.
Hey,
let's grab a cocktail the Relics Conference, buddy.
Yes, I'll see you this week, man, for sure. Hope everyone enjoyed that interview with Andy Frasco. He's an awesome guy, and you can check out his tour dates again at andyfrasco.com and check out his podcast, Andy Frasco's World Saving Podcast. So now we're going to jump into a clip from Amigos, which is an Osiris podcast. Mike Fenoy is the host. He is an awesome comedian. I've seen him perform before. He's very funny. And this week he talks with Tim Palmieri. So we hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Your own synapses start firing and like an eyebrow will raise and you'll look over at everybody else and be like, that was pretty fucking neat.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, to tie it to all together, Beef Barley.
Yes.
We performed at Soup Stock last year. I mm-hmm. believe it was Soup Stock. It
yeah.
was benefit. I don't think it's happening this year. And I didn't plan it, but in the middle of the jam, we were all stressed, or a few of us were stressed, and it was just like all this pressure. And then the Beef Barley jam, it was just like, went for it and was like, would you like some hot broth? I started quoting some 200 Motel Zappa.
Yeah.
Beef Barley, would you like some hot broth? And then it went into a 10-minute soup jam of insanity.
Really?
Yeah. And none of it was planned, but it was completely the moment we got to outlet our angst while being topical.
While being topical. And also, how old's that song?
Yeah, 2000. Well, actually, I wrote that song when he died. So what was that, 95, 96?
I miss him. I miss him to this day.
Yeah, me too.
What were some of your favorite Farley moments?
Oh, man, there's so many. Jeez, it's really tough. I mean, his two movies, Black Sheep and Tommy Boy, every line is quotable.
Every line is quotable, yeah. And I love that you left out Beverly Hills Ninja, because that was a pretty terrible movie.
I revisited it. In hopes that I would, but no,
it stinks.
That's a caricature of him.
It's sad.
They just wrote it like, oh, these are, you know, it yeah. is sad. It's not a good movie.
No.
The Wagons West had better lines, or Wagons East.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. With what's his face.
Yeah. There was a few more better lines. And he went, I thought his work in Dirty Work
yeah.
was good.
Yeah.
Or, you know, decent.
It, yeah.
Even Wayne's World 2, he had some good bits in there.
Yeah. Just Black Sheep and Tommy Boy are just like, he's such a genuinely lovable person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you probably studied him like I did. You read the book and all, like the
No, there's a book?
Yeah, The Chris Farley Show in Three Acts. It's an oral biography that was put together, and it's basically like interviews about him, and it's put in chronological order.
Oh, that
I might
sounds
have
awesome.
It. I'll give it to you if I find it before you leave. But he was just such a, like, he would have these guilt issues where, you know, like they would try, him, Rock, and Sandler would try to like sneak into the back of a restaurant and not be noticed. And then someone would be like, Tommy Boy. And like, we want to do shots with Tommy Boy. And they would buy him. And like 3 weeks later, there's like, you know, a fucking row of dead hookers behind him and blow, and yeah. like, you know, and then like he would come out of it and he would go to like St. Patrick's Cathedral and be like, I want to volunteer. Like, I
yeah,
he's always in battle with himself,
with
you know?
The stardom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he knew how to have a good time and he probably had a tolerance for it at his weight.
Jesus Christ. Can you yeah. imagine that?
So he already would, you know, he can handle
it. He can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad though, man. I fucking miss him. I think some of my favorite SNL moments of his was when he was him and Adam Sandler were the old married couple
mm-hmm.
reading like the Zagat
oh,
review.
Love it.
I think that might be one of my favorite things of all time.
Give me cancer now.
Ravioli. Holy cannoli. Day and night she speaks. One
yep.
word worse than
that. And the Herlihy boy. I mean, the Herlihy oh, boy Jesus is Christ. So good.
Yeah, the Herlihy boy. It's amazing. And you set out, so for people who haven't heard it yet, and I'll play a clip during the episode.
Well, everyone come along while we sing a song, remembering a funny man. A real big guy, always on the fly, making all the people laugh. Comedian that he was, got moving like a two-ton bug. Going that fast, he guessed he had to crash, never wanting to lose his buzz.
I mention all these.
Farley dies. You sit down mm-hmm. and you start writing Beef Barley.
I actually was trying to fall asleep and couldn't, and wrote it at like 3:30 in the morning. I was like, I gotta put these thoughts down or just write whatever.
His death hit you that hard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I mean, I wasn't a Grateful Dead fan, and so I'm sorry, Dead fans, but like when Jerry passed, I was a stranger. I didn't know anything.
Okay.
But Chris Farley impacted me.
Yes.
You know.
No, I understand.
I almost think a little more than Kurt Cobain, and I was a Nirvana fan, and that was sad when that happened. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But Chris Farley was like, wow, I just lost a friend.
Yep.
You
know? Yeah, I understand. So you got up 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning, just wrote it down. And I don't even think I had the music. I had maybe a riff or two. I don't know. I just mixed it somehow.
Well, it's a poem. Like
yeah.
the lyrics are in a very poetic.
Has a cadence.
Yes, absolutely. It's
yeah.
written in a very nice, like, and then, and you know, the beef barley and the, it just, it plays perfect. And I remember hearing it for the first time. I'm writing for Relics, and I'm trying to dip my toe in the world of like becoming like the next music journalist and take the world over. And 20 years later, I'm still trying. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, this is fucking incredible. And it like brought a tear to my eye, and I was like, because I felt the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. It was just like two totally different. You figured out a way to like put it into a song.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it later, and I'm getting chills, and I'm like, this is just unbelievable. And that was a long time after you wrote it.
Yeah.
So that sat for a while.
It did.
You played it live.
I played it, Breakfast wasn't a band till 98, so it wasn't played until then.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, it sat for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I should have said Chris Farley. I just felt like saying Chris Farley was too overt, and I wanted to just, you know, mask it up a bit.
Well, and also the beginning of the chorus when you harmonize, when you guys three-part harmonize the beef.
Yeah.
Chris Farley.
Yeah.
That's very, like, kind of weird, like, laundry detergent commercial sounding
yeah.
in a way. But beef flows very nice.
Beef, yeah, and he was a heavy dude, so
it was perfect.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, for those of us who knew... We knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what
I feel bad I never shared it with like Sandler. I mean, maybe you can get into circle.
Yeah, whatever.
Of comedians because they would appreciate it, I'm sure.
Oh, Jesus, they would. Absolutely. You know what? Fucking let's do it.
We should try that.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more. Please let us know what you think. Give us feedback. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we really appreciate you tuning in. We know you have a lot of podcast choices, and we appreciate you making Osiris and the Drop part of that. So until next time, enjoy, get out there and see some live music.